Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Dumisani Moyo, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, I'm doing all right. I hope your day has been good for you.
My day has been good. Thank you so much for asking. I do appreciate it. Now, facing death of a loved one is a VOP lesson. I mean, already thinking about death of a loved one sends most of us to jitters, and there's no doubt about it. Death is an enemy, and it robs us almost of everything. It's no wonder so many people, and even believers and unbelievers alike, dread the thought of death. But hey, we know that Christ conquered death, and it can never separate from him. Now, having said all of that, my elder, please do summarize this lesson for us. Are we just doomed to deal with death forever?
So the beautiful thing is the Bible answers for us straight away that death will not always reign in this world. Actually, funny enough, when you look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, it says that death will die. Finally, death will be done away with. And actually, and death itself will be thrown in the lake of fire. And this is called the second death. Now, it's funny, yesterday we talked about death. There is that fear in each and every one of us that one day we will actually come to the end of life journey as well. We will come to death as well. But how do we deal with the fear of death for ourselves? Yes, we may have lost loved ones, but what about us? How do we then deal with this problem? How do we deal with this, let me say, problem? And yes, like you said, we have that hope that indeed there will not be death, or death will not always be here.
Right. Are you still there, my elder?
Yes, still here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Now, what suggestions are given in this lesson for facing death unafraid? Can we even face it unafraid?
Now, you know, it's a very practical question, because how do we face death unafraid? All of us will face death, but there's a difference between how the believer faces death and how the non-believer faces death.
Okay.
So here's a few suggestions, there are four of them that we'll give at this point in time. Simple one. One, when we're actually hopeful in Christ, we're supposed to live a life that is hopeful in Christ. Our hope is not in this world, but hope in Christ, that will be prepared for death at any moment. The idea that we are at peace with Christ will also give us peace when we're facing death. But then also, the other suggestion would be obedience, but not obedience in our own strength. Remember, we should seek out that the Holy Spirit would live in us, or Christ would live in us, that he may will and do of his good pleasure in our own lives, so that we'll be prepared for the second life in which we will never die, when we'll be prepared for eternity. So that's two. Number three, we should think of death as a short leap, if I may put it that way, so that it's not one of those things that you're thinking. I know of a friend of mine who kept looking at death as an abyss, that dark abyss that just has that oppressive presence. And so he kept thinking.
My elder? Oh, my elder.
It's just a short. Yes. Are we still?
Yes. You know, we just lost you there for a second, but we've had it.
But, okay. We were saying that it's a short sleep just before eternity, and the same way that when we sleep, we don't even know until we wake up. So there's that peaceful thought as well. And lastly, we should rest in the assurance, or cherish the assurance that Jesus gives us. When Jesus said that I go to prepare a place for you, and when I go, I will come back to receive you, take you to that place. It's in that moment that Christ prepared a heavenly home for you and for me.
Yeah. Now, why do we still die when we say that Christ conquered death? What was the point of his death and resurrection if we're still going to die? I mean, how does it inform our approach to death even?
No, that's actually a very good question, because then the idea would be, if he's defeated death and he came here to defeat death, why would we even need, why do we still see our loved ones die? Why do we still have to face death? Now, when Christ died, it wasn't just for one purpose. It was for, well, there was one main purpose, and that was the defeat of sin. Now, remember that sin is what brought death. Remember, I mean, it would kind of be like, you know that someone can have, let's say, a disease like tuberculosis. I'm not saying this directly at anyone, but as an example.
Right, right.
Let's say someone has tuberculosis, but one of the symptoms and one of the signs that shows of tuberculosis is that of coughing. If someone was to come around and just solve the coughing and not get rid of the actual tuberculosis, then someone might say, oh no, they've been healed up because the coughing has been gotten rid of. But then if the tuberculosis, the underlying effect is still there, then indeed you'll still have the disease. So I take this as an example for when we look at sin and death. Death is a result of sin. That's not, when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just to get rid of the result of sin, but to get rid of sin itself. So remember, yes, we face death now because sin is still in the world. But remember that the getting rid of sin is not just a one phase kind of thing. We're looking at the entire the entire process of redemption. And so while that redemption is still drawing nigh and is still here for us each day, remember that we still have peace, that when we're facing death now, no, it's not going to be like the unbeliever. It will be with the idea that, yes, there is peace in that we will have eternity ahead. That, and remember the promise that God gives when he says that even when you die, you know that you will live again. Even dying, you will know that you will be with me. And so, yes, we still face death now, but only remembering that the whole story of redemption is still playing out even today.
Yeah. My elder, before I let you go, man, you've looked at this lesson, and what are some of conclusions, and what is that you would want to draw our attention into as we let you go?
So I think the best way to do it would be to remember the story of, well, I would tell it from a story. Dr. James Young Simpson was actually one of the great pioneers back in the day. And he was actually one of those ones who was in the pioneering in the field of anesthesia in medicine. And so he experienced. And facing grief, he said, you know, these people who really believed in God and was a believer indeed, but even he was deeply grieved and sorely depressed. But then he found his way to hope. On his beloved child's grave, he erected a small tombstone over there, and it said, "These words only." When you look at Galatians chapter 2:20, it says, "Nevertheless, I live." And those are the words that he put on the tombstone, pointing to the promise of life that we have in Jesus Christ. And so personal tragedy may seem to blot out the sky sometimes, and sometimes our hope cannot be seen. That light of the tunnel, that light at the end of the tunnel, seems very dim. Nevertheless, Jesus lives. Our heart may be breaking, but nevertheless, Jesus lives. And in Christ, we have hope of life after death. Because, as it says in John chapter 11 and verse 25, he is the resurrection and the life. And because he lives, we will live also.
Well, a beautiful one, man. I think it's a very important lesson. Thank you so much, my elder. And thank you for always, always, always being, you know, willing to join us. I do know that it takes quite a bit of time to prepare so that you can speak to us and the listeners. Blessings to you and the family.
And thank you so much. And please have a blessed day. And dear listener, you have a blessed day. Come to Christ.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.